You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
The DFS Studio is brought to you by DraftKings. Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in. We're back. It's Tuesday, November 14th on the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Borgannoni, and I am joined, as always, by Matthew, NBA props thought leader Betts.
Not me, dude. That's you. You're the thought leader in the NBA prop space, which you can get on Kyle's exclusive Patreon for, what is it, $19.99 a month, Kyle, for those five-star locks of the week. So, yeah, shout to you. We started doing a little research yesterday just to peek behind the curtain for everyone. And because, you know, Monday we only have one game, right? One NFL game. And we're like, man, like, what's going on in the NBA tonight? Okay, we got four games, got a four-game slate. I'm not kidding, Kyle. I think 2 hours went by before I did any actual work thanks to our props, you know, I'll call it an obsession. I don't know if that's the right word, but our passion. There you go. And so it was a slow Monday for me. So we were able to get a couple things down. Yes. and hit one, which was good. And I know you had a good night too. So it's always fun.
Yeah. And you know that because you said that out loud, that our Discord channel is going to ask you every single day for, you know what? Maybe that's will be something. If I have an NBA one, I'll give it out. They're like, yeah. Oh, I like this one the most. Like yesterday it was Jrue Holiday. Over his rebounds. That's the one I felt strongest about a hit. And you took one on Jason Tatum. So maybe that's it. Like, I we're not, guys, there's no fantasy basketballers. We don't have time for that. And football
never
actually, football is so helpful for the process. I think that's what you and I like, is moving from this podcast on a Tuesday to our podcast Friday and our best plays over the weekend. And hopefully you get to ride with us the whole way. It's super fun. But yeah, it is quite fun that we have action. I think every single person, you know, whatever you play, and if you're DraftKings Sportsbook, you know, Underdog, Prize Picks, whatever site you're using, it's more of like the journey of finding the edge with these props is like in itself a fun journey. And then if you get to hit it and you get a win, that's even better. Please don't just parlay everything. I see that all the time. Like, do not parlay all of our props. On Monday night, you would have done that and you would have felt terrible because Jaleel McLaughlin forgot how to play football all of a sudden. And that made me feel terrible.
That was a bummer. That was a painful experience to watch. Also equally painful, but like just in a stressful situation, was James Cook. If you played him on Showdown, if you have him in your season long league or Dynasty or whatever, or he took the under on his rushing attempts, it was like, man, one quarter in, like he might not touch the field again. Then all of a sudden, it felt like every time he was on the field, he was going to touch the ball every single time. So we were able to hit that. We had, two of three, I think, last night.
Yes.
Anytime you hit two of three props in a game, you're going to be very happy. But like you said, if you just play them as singles, you profit. If you play them as just a three-slip parlay, you come up empty, right? So that's just the really tough thing about those parlay sites. Not that you can't play them, but not that they're not fun. I know a lot of people that have success. It's just a very different edge. It's honestly a different game, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. On this podcast, Betts and I are going to look forward. We're going to talk about week 11. We are over halfway of the regular season, but once again, we go all the way through the playoffs. We are a little too invested in playoff DFS, which is super fun. You know, you get four games, you get two games, you get kind of these different strategy type games. So all the way through the playoffs, we'll be talking about that. We'll be reviewing our cash and then looking at the week 11 main slate. So let's talk cash.
Straight cash, homie.
I think we have to open up this segment talking about Tony Pollard.
Do we have to?
I feel like, is he like, so last year, DeAndre Swift for Mike and I was like the number one player we were most mad at. Is Tony Pollard like your least favorite player in the league right now?
I think so. And it's only because if I go back to the summer, man, I was, when he was in the back of the second round on Underdog, you know, DraftKings best ball, it was like an auto pick. It was like, man, this guy has a first round profile. We're getting a full round discount. Spoiler alert, we are not getting a full first round discount on Tony Pollard, who, you know, in the early part of the season, it looked great. And recently, especially over the last 3 weeks, Dallas has just completely shifted their mentality. They know it goes through Dak, and Dak is playing at an MVP level currently. He's been awesome. CeeDee Lamb currently is just on fire, like historic pace of what he's done over the last month. So you can't blame Dallas for doing that. And I thought people that played Dak and CeeDee Lamb stacks over Pollard as leverage was super sharp in tournaments, because we always get super concerned and scared. And you're like, well, it's, you know, 17 point favorite. They're at home. Like, Pollard's going to definitely run 25 times and they're not going to have to throw in the fourth quarter. But it's like, man, if they have an efficient game and in three and a half quarters, they put up 40 points, there's a pretty good chance Dak's a part of that, right? So we always get way concerned about the game script aspect of things in the NFL. But if you just bet on Dallas and their team total and you had leverage on Pollard, I thought that was really sharp for tournaments. I played Pollard in cash. It was just another week of the Pollard cash experience, which is not good for anyone.
Dallas basically said, Dak, you get 5 touchdowns. And the way that you're going to give them out is, you know, CeeDee Lamb, you get 2. Gallup, you get 1. Cooks, you get 1. Turd Ferguson, you get 1. Rico Dowdle, you get 1. But Tony Pollard, you get none. You get no touchdown.
What's so funny about that, too, was one of the Lamb touchdowns was a rushing touchdown, right? And it's just like, come on, man. That is the absolute, you know, frustrating situation. But yeah, what are your, let's just do a quick little fast forward here. Tony Pollard takes on the Carolina Panthers.
He's in my lineup right now.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Yeah, we'll talk about him. 6,600, right?
Yeah. Ah, man. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
I try to hold this loosely. I talk to people all the time in Discord. Like, whatever you're putting in your lineup early in the week, just, you know, it's just based on feels, based on vibes. Start your cash pool, but like, do not lock players in. So Tony Pollard, the question I've been getting is, Tony Pollard and the Dallas defense, were those wrong plays? I played them both in cash, and in double ups, the Dallas defense was played 45-50% by the field. So whenever you have a player that's super popular, you have to ask your question, can they hurt me? And if I pivot, are there other options? There was really only 2 defenses people played, right? They played Dallas or Arizona. And because Arizona fell flat, like, the field, it just didn't matter. It, like, Dallas was almost like irrelevant. And so I would say playing the Dallas defense didn't hurt you in your cash builds. You know, the biggest point on this past slate was, did you play one of the punt wide receivers that we talked about? Did you play Noah Brown or Trent Irwin? And if you played one of those, it opened up salary to get to Amon-Ra, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, CMC. Like, one of those guys were probably in your lineup and you did okay. But I think the middle tier was the hardest to sort out this week, because you had the wide receivers, the Hollywood Brown, Tank Dell, Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins. Like, those were the plays that, you know, that was what mattered in cash. I was fortunate because I love DeAndre Hopkins, and I told you, I wanted to play him. His salary didn't work for my roster, and instead I played Bijan. And I was fortunate in that kind of 1v1 swap that I trusted Arthur Smith for just a hot second. But that's kind of what make or break the slate, in my opinion.
Yeah, that range was definitely interesting, especially for tournaments too. It was like, that's where all the chalk was condensing. And so you had interesting leverage points there. I know some people played Deontay Johnson. He obviously didn't have an awesome outing. Marquise Brown failed. But really, it was like, Tank Dell was kind of the key from that range that you needed in cash, which he was played at a high level. I think a very good play for obvious reasons without Nico Collins in the game environment that, truthfully, I thought was going to potentially fail. It did not fail. It did not fail at all. It was crazy, and it was definitely that back and forth affair. And so, yeah, that was one spot that I definitely was off of for tournaments that I wish I would have been on. But like you, I had a very similar lineup. I actually ended up playing Hopkins over Bijan. Arthur's in my head, dude. Straight up. Like, he's just He's in my head. And we finally saw Arthur Smith come out, and I think he felt the heat of the media and the public and whatever. Bijan Robinson had his highest carry count of the season, his highest total opportunities going back to like week one or week two or something like that. So he listened to the people. And I think there was an article too from The Athletic with Diana Rossini that mentioned like their plan was kind of just to slow play Bijan all along. I don't know if that's accurate or not, or if they just were saying that in hindsight because they got so much pushback. But I'm interested to see what happens moving forward with Bijan, because if he is going to be priced in the low 6K, mid 6K range, and he gets that workload, then he's underpriced. But if Arthur comes out and pulls the rug out from underneath of us again, no one would be very surprised. But yeah, I played Hopkins. Titans just overall failed in that spot. So it was an interesting slate, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and if you're staying with us, I just want to recommend, like, our best plays, I felt like once again, were just super strong. Like, here are the guys we recommended. Play Amon-Ra or Chase. Play one of the punt wide receivers and then fill somebody else in. And so that's just felt like, and Geno was with the player that we just said, it was frustrating. That first half was so frustrating. You and I were like, what is going on? And he got there. So I feel like our best plays have been super good. I've been on a hot streak, which scares me in cash. You know, whenever you feel that, like I remember last year you on a hot streak and every week you're like, oh my God, this is going to be the week it falls out. So it's felt really, really good. But I did want to highlight a couple of listeners. Money, 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 money. These are straight from our Discord. Some of ours that posted. This is Seth, a Foot Clan member that won $1,000 placing ninth in a tournament. Just a Burrow double stack. My boy Keenan Allen, who just went nuclear. I mean, I have a home league team bets that I showed you that I put up 196 in a half point league. And then another league that I have Lamb and Keenan Allen, I put up 208. Keenan Allen, ooh, man. I need a new
Keenan
Allen.
Dude, what was fun? I didn't land on this combination, unfortunately. But I did play one Goff double with Amon-Ra and Laporta, and then I played Eckler instead of Keenan. That would have been such a fun combination to have. My goodness. Like those dudes, like they're literally built for DraftKings, where it's just PPR over and over again, hit the 100-yard bonus. Maybe you get a touchdown, maybe you don't. It doesn't really matter. Those guys are just so good. So it was fun to see. I feel like that's your guy and my guy.
Yes.
Going back and forth there in a game that I also mentioned on the show, I was a little worried about the Chargers. Dude, it's crazy what they have done with the playmakers or lack thereof that they have. So hat tip to them.
Yeah, and a couple other ones I want to give a shout out to. The Foot Wad, also a Foot Clan member on Discord. He said, Chili's is calling my name this week. Thanks, Borg and Betts. Placed 13th in a tournament on FanDuel. And then another one that I saw, someone, Gustav said, I turned $12 into a huge profit today. Not quite enough to be able to quit my job, but not good enough for a nice meal at Chili's, courtesy of the DFS Pass. And that's really where all this money's heading. Like, you guys don't know this, but all the money we make from DFS Pass is just donated right to Chili's.
Yeah, we should have told people that back in August. They could just, you know, buy some stock if that even exists in Chili's.
Guys, Chili's is like a longstanding like joke slash like we really talk about it. Like, I really do go there. And I haven't really talked to our manager about it, but I was like, we give enough free shout outs to this place. I'm sure they've made some revenue off of this podcast that maybe we need to partner. So, you know, if you want to tag the ballers and just say, hey, make Chili's happen, like, you know, that could work. That's all I need is make Chili's happen. That's that would be it. All right, let's move on.
State of the main slate.
We're on to week 11, and we will be using the lines on DraftKings Sportsbook. It's where Betts and I play. You can go to sportsbook.draftkings.com. We're going to check in with a couple of wagers and one that I am feeling terrible. And I mean terrible, because last week I came on this podcast and said, hey, there's one wager you need to make. It is the Saints over on their wins. And they got their butts handed to them by the Vikings. It looked really bad. They lost Michael Thomas probably for a while and probably Marshawn Lattimore. And maybe Derek Carr. So no big deal. Bunch of injuries. They still can do it. They can still go 5-2 the rest of the way and make it. But that is not looking good, my friend. My Bills under is looking amazing, but my Saints over is looking terrible.
What's going on with the Bills, dude? Are they just broken or what?
You know, I always feel like they're one playmaymaker short. That's how I feel.
In the offseason.
I know. It's And their defense is not the same Bills defense that we once thought. So
they're also dealing with a ton of injuries on defense. Matt Milano's out. Trey White's out. They have one of their starting safeties out last week. One of their D tackles was out too. So actually, I was looking, just doing a little prep for Showdown. This could be a little teaser for just Bills games moving forward. They get the Jets this week, so probably doesn't matter. But they've been bottom five in like dropback EPA, success rate, stuff like that. So like their defense over the last month has been bad from the underlying efficiency metrics. They played well last night. The offense just, man, that was rough. I also want to give a shout out to everyone that's holding a ticket for Patriots under 7.5. It is unraveling so quickly in New England. We have a potential quarterback change. That just, when your starting quarterback does not come out for a game winning potential drive with 2 or 3 minutes left in the game, that just tells you everything you need to know about the season. So if you're holding a Patriots under ticket at even money, that thing's cashing like what, in 2 weeks at this point? It's been rough for the Patriots.
And I want to give one more season long. The Carolina Panthers, I don't know if you knew this, Betts, they're 1-8. And we took the under on their win total. That was one of our biggest ones. Do you remember what their win total was before the year?
It was also 7.5, yes.
Yes. So basically, we need the Panthers to, they have to go 7-1 over their final 8 games.
I like their chances this week. They get an easy spot against the Cowboys, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, 10.5 point home dogs. So that one, we can't pop the champagne yet, but it's looking pretty good.
You can put it on ice.
I'm not going to spend the money yet. I'm not going to charge it.
No, not yet.
Don't do it. Let's talk about week 11. And the thing that stinks about this week is that the best games that, just from a football perspective and then DFS, are not on the main slate. So Cincinnati and Baltimore is Thursday night. That should be super fun. And then your Eagles go to Kansas City on Monday night, which both those teams are rested coming off the bye. That's an awesome game. Neither of those games are on the slate. But what if I told you that the Cardinals-Texans game would have a higher over-under than Eagles-Chiefs?
I saw that and I was like, that cannot be right. But it is. Yeah, 48 point total for that game. I mean, I think it's going to be the most popular on the slate just because of the tight spread and the high total. But yeah, it's kind of wild that that's higher than a Jalen Hurts, Pat Mahomes matchup is Kyler and a rookie quarterback in CJ Stroud, who, by the way, is he in the MVP conversation?
He won't win it.
I don't know. If they make the playoffs and he keeps playing the way he's played, I'm just saying, dude. I don't think it's crazy.
You know me. I love CJ Stroud. I've been banging the drum since, you know, beginning of the year saying like this player is the number one player in the draft. And I, you know, loved him over Bryce Young. So I love Texas. I just think at the end of the day, it's going to be tough to compete with some of these other quarterbacks and that are just, you know, these other quarterbacks, right? I think we usually do our study. It's like you need double digit wins. Do you think the Texans are going to get to 10 or 11 wins?
I think it's somewhat unlikely, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
Do you think they win that division?
That I do think is possible. If not, if I had to put an odds on it, I'd pay like just over 50-50 over the Jaguars.
Look up the odds right now and we can see if like on air, because it's just a fun bet, like to see what they are for the division against the Jaguars. I'm
curious. For MVP, Stroud is at 2,500. Behind Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, and just ahead of Goff and Josh Allen.
I'm fine with that. No, what are the Texans for the AFC South? I'm
trying to find it.
That's the one that I think if there's good value, I'm going to have a number in my head. And if it's better than that, I will place it. Because I
will try to find it throughout our show. We'll come back to it.
The number in my head is plus 175.
Okay, let's see.
That could be wrong. I'll give you the highest team implied totals for this week because we have the Dolphins back on the slate with a 30-point team implied total, the highest of the week. Detroit is at 28.5. Dallas is at 26.5. San Francisco's at 26. And the aforementioned Houston Texans at 25.8.
What a segue. I just found it.
Yeah?
So they are to win the AFC South. DK, they're plus 275, FanDuel plus 270, There's some plus 250s out there on like Caesars and MGM. So kind of in that 250 to plus 275 range.
Oh, that's worth the sprinkle. Like I said, in my initial gut reaction was plus 175. So 250, 275, that's worth a little bit. And plus you get to root for the Texans, which I would say right now around Footballers HQ, they are our favorite team. Like everybody's just all in on CJ Stroud. We all love him. So that's pretty fun. We mentioned those teams that are not on the main slate. The Falcons, Colts, Saints, and Patriots are all on bye. So just general thoughts on this 10-game slate and how it feels for you.
Well, it's a really tricky slate because every game almost in the early window has a massive spread of 10, 10 and a half, 12 points, you know, between the Raiders and the Dolphins. And there's not a lot of games that actually have a close spread. And the ones that do, I'm kind of worried are just going to be mega chalk, you know, Seahawks and Rams, or we just talked about the Cardinals and the Texans. And then the other ones that do have a tight spread, their total's at like 37 or 37 and a half. So it just feels like one of those weeks where, you know, if you get the game stack right, you can do very well in tournaments. But I also just want to keep leading into these teams that have these massive team totals. You know, like you mentioned, the Dolphins, the Lions, the 49ers, you know, even though they have a huge spread, we just saw this last week at Dallas. Doesn't mean that those guys can't get there for tournaments, especially if they're ultra efficient and put up points throughout the first, you know, three quarters or so roughly. So I'm going to bet on team totals this week. I'm going to bet on teams that are favored by those big spreads.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Looking at the games this week, man, I need to clear my throat. I had a whole break to clear my throat and I couldn't do it. I had to do it on this podcast.
Why
is Arizona at Houston going to be probably one of the most, you know, two or three most popular games?
Yeah, so it's just behind the Dolphins and Raiders for the highest team or the highest game total, excuse me, on the slate. It's right there with the top game environments. It's got a close spread. Currently right now it is Houston minus 4. And this is in a dome. And these are two offenses that have been, you know, for the Texans, obviously playing at a very high level. And Kyler being back is good. You know, this is going to come as a shocker, is good for the Cardinals offense. On the season, this team was averaging 4.9 yards per play. This past Sunday with Kyler jumped all the way up to 5.9. That's one game sample is fluky, but across the season, that's going to be one of the best marks in football. So it just shows you kind of what this team can get when Kyler plays well, which Kyler played very well, and he was very mobile, which we did not think was going to be the case. He was looking awesome out there. And so the tricky thing with this is it's going to be popular because there's cheap plays all over the place. You know, Trey McBride is still cheap enough that you can play him. Rondell Moore is dirt cheap. Singletary is affordable if there's no, you know, Damian Pierce. Kyler is pretty affordable. Marquise Brown was a flop last week, so they didn't move his price, so he's still very cheap. So I like the game. I'm just a little worried that it becomes just mega chalk everywhere, kind of like what we saw last week with the Bengals game.
Yeah, there's cheap enough pieces in this game. Even James Conner, 5.7, is going to be a tag that we'll talk about in cash, but I will never play Rondale Moore, ever. Ever.
I was kind of looking at him, and I was like, man, he's interesting. He could be, you know, come Saturday, he could be in our dart throw section. He saw, I think, 8 targets this past week, something like that.
And they, what'd they go for, like 10 yards? I don't know. He wasn't even on my radar.
I'll look it up.
I have some thoughts later. I'm going to give on the Dynasty pod. Just a little tease here. about Hollywood Brown, because I am worried about Hollywood Brown still.
What are we talking about on the Dynasty show tomorrow?
Oh, we're talking a trade-a-palooza. So players to trade away, trade for, and we have a ton of listener trade questions. So a lot of trade deadlines coming up on the Dynasty podcast. We'll talk about that. The game I want to mention is the one that does have the highest total. It's Vegas at Miami. People love playing the Dolphins, and it makes sense. They're just fun. There's so many different reasons, but also at home, they've hit this team implied total every single game at home. Against New England, 31 points. Carolina, 42. Giants, 31. And then that game against Denver where they put up 70. So I think they're a team that you can lean into coming off the bye, that rest advantage. I think it's also really clear. You bring it back with one of the two studs for the Raiders. Like, you just pick which one. And I think that Miami's defense definitely can give up some through the air. So I like this spot for this team. So the only problem is, it's very clear. You to a double stack, or you to a Tyreek, and then you pick the other person. But Raheem Mostert's still cheap. People want to play Devin Achane if he plays. So it's a game that's going to attract some roster percentage for sure. Which game do you think is the sneakiest of the week?
I'm going to throw out this Seattle and LA Rams game, which you were mentioning before we started recording, that this, you know, spread as of Monday was Seattle favored by 3. And this morning, with the news that Matthew Stafford is going to play, we have it now Rams minus 1. That is a massive shift in the market for Matthew Stafford. So whenever that kind of thing happens, you raise your eyebrows and you say, okay, Vegas is telling us this game is going to stay close. They're telling us that this game total has a chance to go over. It's at 45 right now. That's one of the better game environments on the slate. So I don't know if it's going to be sneaky necessarily, but I am very interested in it. If it is going to be this kind of tight spread under a field goal and a total on the rise.
I'm going to throw out Dallas at Carolina. We've been leaning into Dallas, you know, stacks. And I think Adam Thielen is definitely in play if you want to as a bring back. But the game that I think is in the afternoon window that won't carry as much roster percentage is Tampa Bay at San Francisco, where San Francisco is another one of those double digit favorites that I think people just say, okay, well, that's not a game environment I want to go to. The earlier window has much more attractive ones, but we saw last week with Brock Purdy, you can stack Purdy, you know, CMC, you could have done Kittle or Ayuk. And then the problem with the Jaguars piece is none of them got there. I mean, Christian Kirk had some volume, but I think you can find a Buccaneers piece if it's Mike Evans, K-Dot, and somebody like that that you can bring as a bring back. So I think that game is going to be interesting. And San Francisco looked awesome, by the way. Like, just incredible. And the Jaguars look like they don't belong at all. Like, they were so bad. I hated watching that game because Calvin Ridley did nothing.
Yeah. We on our shared team, we had a Purdy double, which was cooking early. We had Ayuk. I was like, oh, baby, here we go. And then we brought it back with Ridley.
Yeah.
Who was just, he was just here for a good time this week. You know, didn't really want to catch ball. Didn't want to put up points. I saw some like people on Twitter that like do like film stuff, film studies. We're just saying like the separation isn't there and it's just not been great. So I'm a little worried about Calvin Ridley, and Christian Kirk looks like the dude right now. So yeah, I think he should have been the play, obviously, but shout out to Calvin Ridley for his week one performance that will be forgotten by everyone.
The Sammy Watkins performance of the year.
That's right.
All right. Which game do you want to be underweight on?
Yeah, I don't think this Pittsburgh and Cleveland game is for me personally. Watson is banged up. I'm going to put this out there. I think he's less than 50-50 to play. I know he said after the game that he feels fine and he will play. He's in a walking boot. This is a mild high ankle sprain that gets worse throughout the week. So you have that concern. Then you add in the fact that it's Kenny Pickett on the other side. And we've talked about that with Pittsburgh, is that they just prefer to play conservative. They prefer to run the ball, which they've actually been doing decently well with Warren and Najee the last couple of weeks. Pittsburgh games are 7-2 to the under. This is a divisional matchup, and they're playing for the second time. So these teams know each other very well. Just historically tells you that the game usually goes under. And the market specifically, I thought this was funny, with the Pittsburgh games, I was looking at their closing total as far as their Vegas total. Every game for them this year has been between 37 points and 43.5. So like, Vegas kind of doesn't see any wiggle room for like Pittsburgh to ever have this ceiling game performance. Just to me, it doesn't feel like a spot that you want to attack.
I probably will not have much of any Giants and Commanders. I get if people are like, hey, Sam Howell, I can just repeat everything. I don't think they'll need the same passing volume that he's needed, because really what's been great about Sam Howell is that they've been in competitive games. It's the first time that they've been a massive favorite, much less a double-digit point favorite. So could you correlate somebody, you know, Saquon and a Washington wide receiver? Sure, that could work. But I just think it's a game environment that's at 37.5 that I don't think you need. And we have so many other quarterbacks that we can go to this week. Like, I legitimately have 5 or 6 quarterbacks I like already. And Sam Howell doesn't feel like one of those that, like, you have to play. Last week, it was like he was one of the 3 or 4 that we really liked. So I will be underweight on that game. Which team are you most confident hits the over?
Yeah, I'm going to keep rolling here with Detroit. We were on their over last week. This week, it's a higher total at 28 points. But they're at home. They're taking on the Bears. Things are trending in the right direction for this offense. With the offensive line, they got healthier out of the bye week. We saw them just be dominant last week against the Chargers, both in the running and passing game. And we know they play well when they're at home or they're in a dome. This year, they're 6th in scoring. They're 3rd in yards per play. They're 8th in EPA per play and 7th in success rate. Meanwhile, defensively, Chicago is 27th in EPA per play on the defensive side of the ball. So even in a massive spread here, I just want to bet on the Lions at home. They've been great.
I mentioned earlier the Dolphins at home, the 30 implied team in total. They've hit that every single week this year at home. So just simple. This is a good offense, highest on the week. And I think it's, you know, they could score 35-40 and put it up against the Raiders. So which team are you most confident hits the under of their team implied total?
Yeah, a lot of this just goes back to what I was mentioning with the Steelers and the Browns. Obviously, Cleveland and the Baltimore game last week got a little nutty. I don't think anyone saw that coming, but on the season, Cleveland has been dominant. I'm going to take Pittsburgh under 17.5 points this week. They're averaging 17.3 on the season. They're 26th in yards and points per play, so it doesn't seem like a great spot. And Pittsburgh low-key has been so fortunate with their schedule. They have only played 3 road games so far on the year. Now they have to go on the road. Very tough test against Cleveland.
I hate saying it because every week we're like, oh, this is the get-right spot for the Bills. They've lost 3 of their last 4. They haven't covered the spread since week 4, which is just gross. Their games have hit the under in, let me just make sure I'm counting this correct, 7 of 10 weeks. It's really, really gross. And then you see them play the Jets, a team that they lost to in week 1, and the Jets have only allowed 2 teams to hit their team implied total this year. So that's a game environment that I like some of the pieces. Like, I like Garrett Wilson a lot. I think you can play Breece Hall. I just worry about that being a shootout game. And the Bills are not the same Bills, okay? So especially against a tough defense. So the Bills are a team that I would take under their team implied total, which is at 23.5 right now. Let's move on.
Salary standouts.
Moving on to salary standouts, we're going to talk about which players on Tuesday stand out to us. And I want to give a very clear disclaimer. These are not the players to lock into your lineup. These are the players that, if you're listening to this Tuesday podcast, have a pool of players. So I try to outline this sometimes, but for quarterback, and Betts, you can kind of give me your own. At quarterback, I'm trying to find at least 3 quarterbacks that work, that I think could work, and they're different price points, and I kind of shuffle through it. So 3 quarterbacks, I generally like 4 to 6 running backs to like put in my player pool. Wide receivers, I think you need 6 to 9 to really start to work with once you get to Friday and Saturday. So don't just say there's 3 wide receivers and that's it. Like, you need 6 to 9, tight end 2 or 3, defense, you and I end up with 2, maybe 3, depending on the week. But Is that a good general like overview of like, don't just lock in these guys early in the week?
Yeah, for sure. And I think having a quarterback, it's kind of tough because the salaries are somewhat condensed, you know, especially on a smaller slate. Like, a lot of the guys are in the 6K range or upper 5s, except for the elites. But yeah, running back and wide receiver, especially at wide receiver, I like having just a few guys at the top tier, a few guys in the middle tier, and then a few guys that I think you could consider as a pump play to start the week. That's kind of how I do it. And then, like you said, as the week goes on, we get more information. We start to kind of narrow in on where you want to go. But having those options, like you said, multiple at each position is kind of the way that I start early in the week.
Betts mentioned how that Arizona-Houston game is going to be super popular. You can play either quarterback, but CJ Stroud is 6.9, so he's starting to get a little expensive. I like Kyler at 6.1. I think I saw enough last week that he's involved. He's running. So Kyler at 6.1 and Geno at 5.9, which terrifies me because Geno, we went there last week and you feel like any week Geno could just implode. But Geno at 5.9 and Kyler are my two favorites.
Yeah, you mentioned Stroud. It's actually 7K on DraftKings. That's he's at. Which is, if you look at the pricing, it's like, you know, Tua is at 77, Herbert's at 7,600, Dak's right there at 73. So like, I think they're doing a good job of pricing him up, but he would be more of a tournament play for me this week, as would Jared Goff, who's at 6,600. Chicago, you know, this is going to be one of those matchups where it's strength on strength. They've been so good against the run, but as we saw last week, you can definitely count on this Lions team to mostly have success, you know, week in and week out running the football with Gibbs and Montgomery with the offensive line playing the way they are. But if they choose to throw in this spot, I think Goff stacks are very interesting because he's kind of in that no man's land price range at 6,600. But as we know, he plays very well at home and in a dome. So I like Goff for tournaments. For cash, my lean right now is Purdy, who's at 5.8, taking on the Bucks as a pass funnel defense. It's kind of just been the story with Purdy. Like, he's so efficient, you know, week in and week out, completing a high rate of his passes. They got Trent Williams back last week. They got Debo Samuel back last week. Obviously, Ayuk and CMC are doing their thing. They got one of the highest team implied totals on the slate. It feels like a good way to get exposure to an awesome offense.
So do you feel like the expensive tier, like the guys that we usually would pay up for, Lamar, Herbert, Hurts, Josh Allen, like, are any of those guys like cash viable for you though?
Well, I would not play Jalen Hurts this week or Pat Mahomes.
That's
Kyle.
What I'm saying. Like, they, we can't,
because they're
we
on
can't
the main
play,
slate.
We can't. On the main slate. No, my point I was trying to make is that none of those expensive guys. So I'm kind of like wiping off anybody over 7.5.
Oh yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, it's Josh Allen at 8,200. You just can't go there in cash right now, right? It's just price prohibitive, and you can't even count on the 30-point. You know, output that you were getting last year on a routine basis. So no way. And then these other guys, you know, like I mentioned, Tua, Herbert, Dak, totally fine tournament options. I just think when you're thinking about the way DraftKings has priced quarterbacks this year, they're kind of underpricing really good quarterback plays in the 5 and 6K range week in and week out. And that money to me goes a long way when you save it to go up to a stud wide receiver or running back.
No, and I think my point more is saying, like, my initial feel of the slate is that because the field won't lean into that, like, you don't have to have the same fear. Like, is Josh Allen going to bury me? Well, like, I don't know. In a tournament, I think, you know, Josh Allen's going to be like 3-4%, which makes him interesting because we know he's volatile. He could, you know, easily go off for 35 points. But you don't have to be scared about those kind of plays in cash because nobody's going to be playing. Like, nobody's going to be playing Diggs this week. He's going to show up as a totally fine play at his price point, but based on what happened, the vibes and the price, you just don't have to be fearful. So this mid-tier of quarterbacks that Betts and I keep bringing up, I feel like almost every single week, and we have the last couple, they're just great values. So Goff, Purdy, Kyler, Geno are our early favorites in the week. Let's go to running back, and I said it earlier, Tony Pollard will probably be a play that's going to, I'm going to recommend. And am I just a sick, sick person? And it's okay if you're listening. You're like, what an idiot, Kyle. Hey, your boy here cashed with Tony Pollard. I just rode that 5.5 points.
The most hollow stat line of all time, 15 carries for 55 yards or whatever it was. I cashed too with him. So I guess I'm not that mad at him. But it makes sense. It's just the matchup, right? Everyone gets there against Carolina. They are allowing more than one rushing touchdown per game to running backs. Look, man, it's going to happen at some point, right? Right? Right, Kyle? He's got to find the end zone at some point. If Tony Pollard doesn't start scoring touchdowns, my kids might not have a Christmas this year. So he's in play. I'm not sure if I'll go there yet, but he's in play because he's cheap. I'll also throw out Devin Singletary, who, by the way, turned into Barry Sanders overnight last week. It just went bonkers. If there's still no Damian Pierce, at 5,300 against the Cardinals, that's a matchup we've been attacking all year. He would be almost a no-brainer play in cash.
These are the boys. The last couple of weeks, you know, Pollard, Singletary, who we also recommended this past week. I get it. If like you don't play DFS though based on pure emotions. You can't do that. And moving forward, you just look at a matchup, you look at player X, you look at the team implied total and the price, and what do they have to do with the price? So I get it. I get it if you're just done. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Don't play DFS that way, or else you're going to miss out on some absolute blow-up spots for certain players. I think Tony Pollard, though, like I think people are still going to play him based on how we do DFS.
Yeah, if this was 5 years ago, I think no one would play him. But everyone uses projections to set lineups these days or uses an optimizer, and so he's going to project well because he's going to probably project for, what would you say, like 15-ish, give or take, carries, yeah, and probably 3 to 4 targets is probably going to be like his base projection. That's going to project well at his price. So you can make your own decision. If you're out, you're out. If you want to fade in tournaments, I think that's fine. But as far as cash plays, like, he makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, and I just, you know, all the hate just fuels me to want to play him more. It just, I love it. Some other guys in the 6K range, Breece Hall at 6.4 against a Buffalo defense that can't tackle. Like that's a huge problem. I don't know if you saw it on Monday night against Javonte and crew, but they've been one of the worst tackling units in the NFL. And Breece Hall, I think, is a solid play at 6.4. Aaron Jones at 6.2 against the Chargers at home is another play that I'm kind of interested in at that price point. I think that's too cheap. And then James Conner at 5.7 on the road. I obviously wouldn't play Conner and Singletary in the same lineup, but I think Conner is going to get the workload, and we've kind of played running backs against the Texans for a while. Anybody else you want to mention?
No, I think those are kind of my favorites. I did just want to throw out two with Breece Hall. This is an awesome spot to catch the football against this Bills defense. They are bottom five in targets, receptions, and yards to the position on a week-in and week-out basis, and it's kind of been rough for Breece as far as running the football, but he's been great in the passing game. So I just want to highlight that. I'm interested in him for that reason. But no, I think those are my favorite plays. Like you mentioned, this kind of lower 6K and upper 5K range looks like the sweet spot this week.
The best part about the Jets, which is not a sentence I thought I would say, the best part about the Jets is that it's pretty...
Is
condensed, right? Like, it's Breece or Garrett Wilson. I could not fathom playing anyone else. Garrett Wilson, let me give you his target counts for the last 5 games. 14, 7, 12, 13, 13, 14. And his DK points, 15, 8.4, 17, 20.6, 14, and 8.3. That should be a player on DraftKings that should be priced in the 7K range, but he's only 6.4. So I like Garrett Wilson a lot in terms of cash, guaranteed targets. On FanDuel, I think he's a great play too at 7K. So Garrett Wilson, early in the week, I feel like I want to play one of those two Jets. I mentioned earlier, I don't like the overall game environment, but I do like those two players at their price points. The same price, by the way.
Yeah, he's also one of the most obvious regression candidates to catch a touchdown. Just Zach Wilson, please, dude, just throw a touchdown pass. He has no touchdown receptions since week 2, despite that insane volume. So seems like an interesting guy, especially if he's going to be lower rostered to bet on a tournament. Seems interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that we talked about last week, and I mentioned them again because their prices are relatively the same. DeAndre Hopkins, 6.1. You know, he still has a 28% target share. And with Will Levis, that's up over 30%. Deontay Johnson, it didn't work out last week, but you'll take targets at 5K. He looks like just a simple, solid option. Not sexy at all. Hollywood Brown, 5.3. Another solid option. I also like Michael Wilson if you want to go down a little bit deeper with the Cardinals at 3.4. And we'll talk about Trey McBride because he's on another level right now too. But what are some names that you like?
Yeah, also throw out Tank Dell. It's same conversation as last week, right? It's like if Nico Collins isn't there, they only bumped him up $400 and he's, I mean, aside from Noah Brown, he's been the focal point of the offense as far as the passing game goes. And this is the issue I was talking about with this game. It's just there's so many cheap plays, like you mentioned, that he'd be in play for cash. Also throw out too, if you did want to spend up, Amon-Ra looks rock solid against this Bears pass defense, as we've talked about with Goff at home. So that's kind of a correlative play with my Goff take this week. So those are kind of my favorite options there at wide receiver.
And I'm surprised you didn't mention your buddy, Noah Brown, who his salary went up $1,100. So he's $4,800. Let's say that Collins is out. Would you take the savings from Tank and go down to Noah Brown?
Probably not for cash. Probably not.
You don't think he's the next big thing?
I mean, he's been so efficient. If you look at his last two games, he's had 6 and 8 targets, which is good, especially for a 4K wide receiver. But if the price is going to come up and he's not commanding that like double digit target count, then I'm a little hesitant to buy into it. But man, the matchup's great and I get it. My tricky thing with that is if Nico's out and Damian Pierce is out, I'm probably going to want to play Singletary because he's so cheap.
Yep.
And then probably tank. So it's like a max 2 of the Texan situation.
You don't believe in the player that's number 1 in the league in yards per target?
Which is also funny because I'm in a competitive league with a bunch of industry folks. Jason's in it. A couple other writers and podcasters and stuff. And man, it was a rough bye week. And I was like, I guess I'm going to roll with Noah Brown this week again, man. Just watching him go bonkers. I was like, oh my gosh, Noah Brown turned into Randy Moss. What happened here? So, dude, he was like a blocking tight end or blocking wide receiver in Dallas. I don't understand what just happened.
Yeah, it's this Ohio State connection. I don't like, it's awesome. It's fun to watch because it's literally out of nowhere. A player that didn't have a job was behind Robert Woods. And then all of a sudden they're just unleashing him, let him go bananas. But at tight end, there's no Kelsey, no Andrews, and no TJ Hawkinson, who, man, I don't care what the price is for TJ Hawkinson. Like, play that dude because Josh Dobbs only cares to throw to him. But we don't have any of those guys. So our slate's a little different this week. Do you think people are just going to go back to T. McBee? He's now 4.4, but unbelievable stuff. Like, his yards per route run numbers on the year are right there with Kelsey. So Trey McBride is probably our early standout. And Dalton Kincaid's fine. He's 4.9. He's a little bit more expensive. He's fine. And then our route running boy, route running king, dare I say, Kate Otten at 3.4 is just cheap enough if you wanted to play him. Any tight end thoughts? I know you got a lot of tight end thoughts early in the week.
Oh man, this is where I shine. I have several thoughts. One, Trey McBride is the best play on the slate at tight end. When you consider pricing, like we talked about this a little bit throughout the season, the pricing is just different this year. We used to be able to find a 2.8 guy that you could plug in or a 3.1 guy that you felt really good about. But like, man, Tyler Higbee's done nothing. He's 3.3. Donald Parham, I guess, would be okay at 3.1 if Gerald Everett is out. But like, I don't know. Dana Bellinger's 3K. You know, like there's no good plays down there. So I think going up to Trey McBride makes all the sense in the world. It goes against everything that I've done for the last 3 or 4 years in DFS. But he's getting so much usage and it's a decent matchup. So I think McBride is great. I think Kincaid is very interesting for tournaments. The Jets, you can attack them with tight ends. And I feel like everyone kind of is, has a sour taste in their mouth with the Bills. So I think he's interesting for tournaments. For cash, my lean is McBride right now, but we'll see throughout the week.
Yeah, I feel like I already am setting up lineups where I do a Garrett Wilson, Dalton Kincaid mini correlation with that game. At defense, there are a lot of different options this week. There are total punt options. Like if you just want to say, screw it, you can call them defenses that just get slaughtered, but they're so cheap, who cares? It's like what we did with the Giants that 1 week. We're like, I don't care. If they give me negative points, I just don't care. The Panthers are 2.2. Punt it off a bridge if you need to do that. The Bears are 2.4. Also, massive underdogs. Punt it off a bridge. The Raiders, 2.5. Those are all cheap, but I think the two options you have on here stand out early in the week.
Yeah, I think if you're going way down there, I would just play the Packers, man. 2,300. Yeah. They're at home. They're taking on the Chargers, and we know Justin Herbert will drop back a ton, which is how you get fantasy points as a defense, is sacks and turnovers and things like that. So I think that makes a lot of sense, especially with his skill group really banged up and injured. But it kind of feels like the Cowboys 2.0, right, of last week. Obviously, they didn't really do anything to pay off their tag. They had 8 points, and they were 4,400. This week, they're 4,100. But it's almost the same scenario. They're not at home, but they are on the road taking on Carolina and Bryce Young, which, end of story. And they are, again, double-digit favorites. So it's like the same play as last week. I think an interesting fade in tournaments, but you could make the argument that they're worth it in cash because they are going to project probably for 11 points, 12 points like they did last week. So what are your thoughts on the Cowboys at 4.1?
Yeah, I think it's the same conversation as last week. You're building in some chalk, but there's ceiling with a defense that's cheaper than what they were last week. I do think they won't be as popular. Like, I think, so last week in my double up, I'm looking at it right now, they were 44%. I'm going to say that they come in around 30, 25, 30. So it's a little different conversation where the whole field's not going to do it. And then you have to ask yourself, like, okay, what am I gaining? So I think those are the two defenses, though, early in the week, Dallas or Green Bay all the way at 2.3. Ask yourself the question, a 4.1 player, a wide receiver or tight end, what do I need them to do? What is their ceiling? You know, and so you're kind of compare that with a couple of players. Like last week, JSN was 4.1. And you had to ask yourself, like, okay, JSN, what's he going to get me? Like 8 points, 10 points? Or am I going to get a defense that's going to get 8 points, but has a ceiling of 20 points? And that's kind of the conversation you have to go back and forth. But we'll see. I like that the field didn't get what they wanted last week. And so they'll just say, oh, that didn't work. I need to move on. But I think you're still building in the same conversation. It's the same conversation. And I would argue, like, the Giants were super conservative, like way over the top conservative. The sacks were there. I do think the Panthers will throw more than the Giants. The Giants just laid down and just said, destroy us. I think there's more opportunities for interceptions, turnovers this week. So, does that make sense, the game theory part?
Totally. Yeah, and this is, it's always a good reminder too. It's like, man, you know, in tournaments, I even heard, you know, some folks kind of talking about like, man, they're a good tournament play, the Cowboys. And I was like, I don't know, last week, like they're going to be 30% in large field stuff, maybe even higher in small field. And we just know it's volatile, but like you're saying, in cash, if the field is going to do it and you can make the case for it, it makes sense. So if we get cheap options, like last week you could do it because you got, you know, Trent Irwin at literally 3K as a play that you can make it work. Just kind of depends on how the slate works as far as pricing and that sort of thing. But if you have the money, you really can't poke many holes in this spot.
Yeah, and Dallas was in the late window this past week. This week they're in the early, where like if you were behind the cash line, if you're like, hey, my early plays failed, then getting off Dallas and having a different roster construction is what you needed to do. This week, it's a different conversation because they play first. So keep that in mind. If you want to play with us, go to ballersdfs.com or DraftKings League. Fantasy Footballers DFS, Borg plus bets. There was a contest that I was in and I didn't do so hot. It just didn't go so well with our listeners. They took my money. I did have a contest where within the first 5 minutes, I had Ravens defense, Trenton Irwin, and Brandon Ayuk. I literally had the first three touchdowns of the day. And I said to myself, I am going to crush today. That team didn't cash at all.
Oh, pain. DFS is the best and the worst all at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, just recommendation, don't send the screenshots early. Don't post them early. Don't send them to your spouse or your friends early. You got to wait. Wait till the very, very, very end. I will send bets something if, you know, we will send each other something like, hey, dude, this team is hot right now. I've got like five or six flames. I'm contending. We'll send that in the afternoon window. But often those teams get buried just because somebody else has it. So ballersdfs.com if you want to play with us. Bets, sign us off.
Yes, sir. Fun show today. I'm excited for this slate. Another kind of feels like gross 10-game slate, which they're always my favorite. So we'll see you on Friday for the preview of the main slate. Enjoy the week. We'll catch you on Friday.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com.